Privacy Settings on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to Privacy Settings, the show where I go through your favourite people's phones to expose their grubby little secrets. Joining me now is comedian, podcaster, and the only man who has a better Keir Starmer impression than me, it's Milo Edwards.
It's lovely to be here.
Thank you for coming
in. It's my pleasure.
It's really lovely to meet you. I'd to meet someone who will put it to high relief how sort of generic mine is.
I want us to go through my phone in a responsible way.
Okay.
In the correct way.
Very good.
A measured way. We don't want to be leaping in.
No.
Straight into the camera roll. That's dangerous. There could be nudes in there.
Okay, where should we start?
We want to be going through the basics. We want to be going through the health app. How much have I been sleeping?
Yes.
Emails. Very important. Banking. Am I preparing for my future? How is my pension looking?
Do you have an
ISA? These are the things we need to focus on.
Have you used the 20 grand a year limit?
Absolutely. You've got to be making use of your financial options.
You do.
Are you invested in index funds? Yeah, there we are.
It's beautiful stuff.
We'd love to see it.
I'd love to look through Keir Starmer's phone. Do you think there'd be any apps on it?
Oh yeah, definitely. That man's using Headspace for sure.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, like Keir Starmer is like, he's like, what apps has he got? Like LBC.
Yeah.
He's like a boring wet dad. He's gonna absolutely have BBC Sport on there. Yeah.
Oh, I love to check the football scores when the wife's not looking.
Like, you know, that'd be classic.
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
What else would Keir Starmer have? Like, I reckon he's got the Lime bike app. I reckon Keir Starmer gets a cheeky Lime scooter.
Do you think so?
Yeah, when he's, when he's not too busy. Do you reckon he's got MyFitnessPal?
I think he does. Does he have a smartwatch?
Yeah, but I think he wouldn't be seen in it publicly. I reckon he's wearing it when he does five-a-side. Yeah,
he's got it like higher up the arm.
Yeah.
So no one knows. Secret. Do you have one of those smartwatches?
No, I hate them.
Oh.
I have a nice... I just think they're so ugly. I don't mind like if you were to wear it for sport or whatever. Like for what's in it. For me, wearing a smartwatch going about your day-to-day life is like wearing football kit at the supermarket. It's like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you?
Full studs and co-op.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's mad. Like, wearing football kit to play football, fine.
Yeah?
Yeah, wearing football kit, like, at the pub, what's going on, bruv? Are you okay? Is everything all right at home? similarly, like, the smartwatch is, like, that's for, like, running or whatever. Like, that's not for, like... people are paying for a coffee with their watch. They're fucking Doctor Who. Like, fuck off, mate. What's wrong with you? Yeah, no, absolutely not.
They've optimized the least...
Yeah.
Optimizing... Struggled really hard with optimization as a word is deeply ironic, I think.
I've inherited a watch of my father's, which I'm convinced that he's haunting this watch because every time I get it serviced and then it stops working again within 3 months.
Mad.
And they're always like, whenever it goes into the service, they're always like, this watch is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And then 3 months, it, like clockwork, stops working again.
Why would your dad be haunting you with that specific?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want me to know what time it is. I'm not sure why.
He wants you to live in the moment, Milo.
Yeah, maybe that is why. Yeah. My dad's sort of like the opposite of Flavor Flav. He wants you to have no idea what the time is.
I've often said that about your dad, you know?
Yeah. That was one of his big things.
Was it?
Never know the time.
No.
Even sundials, he'd be angered at the sight of them.
I feel like he didn't even like shadows.
Just in case, because you could guess something from a shadow. He only really liked the hours of darkness. But then again, that is also a time.
Yeah.
You know roughly what time it is when it's dark. And he didn't like that.
What did he do, your dad?
He ran a fashion business.
Did he?
He wasn't a designer himself, but he did sort of fashion design and supply for like high street women's wear mostly.
Cool.
Yeah. My parents worked together, lived together. They were we lived together. It's quite conventional, but yeah. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, that list got more and more conventional. It was a list of two things, to be fair.
Yeah. I'm writing a show at the moment about, I have all these letters that my parents exchanged in the 80s because my dad used to work in Hong Kong for like a lot of the year.
Wow.
And so there are these like 3 month periods where there are like loads of letters that they've exchanged.
Cool.
And then there's like a long gap and then more letters. And I'm trying to write a show about the letters, and the letters are devastatingly horny.
Really?
Yeah, I've realized what I'm doing is the 1980s equivalent of going through my parents' phones.
Whoa.
Because I'm reading, I mean, bear in mind though, my mother did keep and archive all of these letters.
Yeah, so she sort of wanted someone to read them.
Yeah. And the craziest bit is they're a bit torn out. And given what's been left in, I'm like, what the fuck is she tearing out?
I think this is the best sales pitch for a show I've ever heard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to know, like, you know, what my dad's into sexually, or was into, then it's definitely the show for you. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's something I wanted to know. The most devastating bit is one of the letters where he's flirting with my mum, and he's just doing my gear. I'm like, fuck, we've got the same gear. Like I hit on women in the same way as my dad. Because obviously we've never conferred. Like, it's like, it's genetic.
Yeah. He's never sat you down and be like, this is my like 10 tip course to become a...
No, absolutely. I can confirm that he did not do that. It's not like he's done it and I've blanked it out. Like, he did not do it.
Yeah.
And there I am reading it and I'm like, oh fuck. Nature and nurture, truly.
Oh no. So now at any time you flirt, you've got your dad's broken watch on your hand. And
got a glint of old Keith.
Yeah, Keith's there.
Time stops when I look into your eyes. My watch is broken. It's haunted by my late father, who coincidentally would absolutely have shagged you. There we go. What an opener that is.
It's good stuff. You know when people pass away and you say, you know, they're always with you. But Keith is always with you.
Yeah. Anytime I meet a woman in a bar or whatever, that's... Oh, Keith's up there.
My dad would have loved you.
Great stuff. I mean, presumably we have the same taste. I mean, not my mum, obviously, but, you know.
That's the one differentiation.
You've got to... Yeah, that is one area from reading these letters where I'm like, well, I'm definitely different to my dad in this one respect, which is that he is constantly trying to shag my mum.
Yeah.
And I have to say, that isn't something I've ever been particularly keen on.
Not particularly keen on. Can you see what he saw in her?
I'm gonna plead the fifth on that one.
Yeah, it's one of the worst questions I've ever asked.
Yeah.
We've just met.
Yeah. It's not ideal.
Can I have your phone?
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing.
I was on a podcast yesterday where I got asked if I'd ever given a stool sample in a like sort of casual throwaway manner.
And today you've been asked if you fancy a mum.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, sort of when you're like, well, I don't want to, like, you know, podcasting, it's about sort of yes anding, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to be like, that's a mental question to ask me. Why on earth would I answer that? So I sort of had to go like, yeah, but like, where can you possibly be going with this?
Okay, to the producer, we're going to have to get rid of the stool sample question because he's clearly answered that already.
Yeah, no. Well, you did ask me to bring in a stool sample.
Yeah, that's different though. That's just for us.
Yeah. It's not part of that. We also go through, it's like Gillian McKeith.
Yeah.
She's your guest host.
We're not yes and, we're more yes but. In yes, bring us something from your butt into the studio.
Yeah.
Lovely home screen here. Classic water droplet background.
Yeah.
Did you make a choice on that, or is that just...
I think it's been the same across multiple iPhones that I've owned over the years.
Yeah.
I really, with my phone, I just do not give a fuck.
Whoa.
Like, I'm just like... Radical, people like, man. You know, people are like really like customizing their phone or whatever. Like, people who are constantly changing their lock screen. I'm like, nah. How have you got the time? I've got no time. I'm not like, it's not happening. I'm, you know.
Too busy to change a wallpaper.
Default settings, please. Thank you.
And this is the classic water droplet background that was, or the raindrop background that was used as the default image to showcase the Retina display on the iPhone 4. So it's been...
There you go. That's how long that has been my background.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't even know how to change it. Because I've not done it. I've not changed it ever, I don't think. So, yeah.
So yeah, you're not downloading polyphonic ringtones and chucking them on here.
Yeah, the only time I even change a lock screen is when I have had a girlfriend long enough that they insist on being on it, or when I've broken up with a girlfriend and they therefore need to be removed.
Okay.
That is pretty much, those are the only occasions when the lock screen changes. Well,
6,869 unread emails. Don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, that's because I have like 4 email accounts. My actual email account, like if you actually want to email me, it doesn't get anywhere near that high. But no. That's because I have several email accounts for podcasts that I do.
Yeah.
Where I never open them. They just get sent like spam. But you have to have an email address in order to manage all of the podcast accounts.
Right. So it's like 6 ways to grow your podcast, get some free followers. That
kind of thing. Also just like anytime someone signs up to the Patreon or like leaves a comment on something, you get an email about it. And so I just never open it. So it's just a Gmail that's just like, if it was a real thing, it would have mold growing on it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not been disturbed. It's like a hermetically sealed Gmail account that never gets opened.
And one day it'll grow its own sort of organisms or be able to send its own emails.
But I have to have it on my phone because very occasionally something will email me a code to that email address to get into one of the accounts, and then I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah, it does feel like you could just set up endless Gmail accounts, and you could just have various pockets of landfill that just are filled with spam.
Yeah,
you could do that. I mean, I don't know why you would. It doesn't sound interesting or fun at all. So you don't mind that you've got these 62 missed calls, 64 missed texts. 138 yeah. App Store notifications.
Again, the texts, they're just all like texts from my bank. You know, confirmation codes, hello, we are your bank, texts from HMRC. Oh, you've not paid your tax bill yet? Like, yeah, because it's not due yet, is it?
No.
I know what date's due. Thank you.
When is it due?
31st of Jan.
Have you done it?
Not done it. I'm going to do it.
It's 21st of Jan.
That money's earning interest in my account. Fucking right. Martin Lewis is proud of me, okay?
He got so excited he hit the microphone.
Oh, that's right. My
my tax money is responsibly placed in a high interest savings account. That means I'm making money on the government's money. And that's where you want to be.
Now, have you looked into gilt prices? Because they're very interesting at the minute.
I feel very guilty all the time.
Well, but as do I, but also I don't feel guilty in any way at all.
That almost went a bit Alan Bennett there.
Yeah. As do I.
there's a sort of Venn diagram of Alan Bennett, Alan Rickman, and there's a bit of Keir Starmer in there.
I can't believe I'm Prime Minister of the United Kingdom.
Could you please have
a classic fool
Alan Rickman talking about his phone that becomes Alan Bennett that turns into Keir Starmer?
Right. Okay.
You very yes and you said.
Well, it's dreadful all this time we'll spend on our phones. I can't get around it.
I think, oh, I don't want to spend any more time on my phone. You know, it was dreadful, isn't it? Oh, it's not nice. That went a bit eating with Todd. I don't know. Alan Bennett.
I think actually, you know, the phone can be quite a useful piece of equipment.
Yeah.
And if it's used correctly, in the right way, in a responsible way, you know, there's nothing wrong with having an iPhone 8.
There you go.
I've got to stop and take lots of pictures of my family on holiday.
I have never ticked a talk.
No, I don't even really understand how to use
it. I've never snapped a chat. No. I don't know what it is, but I'm willing to learn.
I don't know what is app.
The only app to be named after a Budweiser ad from the early 2000s.
WhatsApp! That would be a great WhatsApp advert. I don't think they need to do WhatsApp adverts, but...
No, it's just sort of like infrastructure. It'd be like having an ad for roads.
I'm going to jump into your screen time because...
Please.
That's what we want to know. We want to know how much time you're spending on your screen. First of all, Milo, this is Milo Edwards' iPhone brackets 3. So,
yeah.
What happened to the first two?
Well, I have owned God knows how many iPhones at this point. I mean, I probably could work it out, but it's a lot. But there have been three... This is the third iPhone, which has been backed up, I guess, directly from another iPhone. So it's sort of like... Because you know what happens is... When you transfer all the data directly from one iPhone to the next one,
yeah,
it ports absolutely everything, including the name of the phone.
Yeah.
But then the software knows, well, these two phones can't have exactly the same name.
That'd
so
be
then
crazy.
It does this, so and it adds a number. And this is obviously the third time I've done this. And again, as you can see, once again, it's coming across, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you don't
I'm not
time.
Changing it. I don't care.
If you could give
Let it be Milo Edwards' iPhone 3, whatever. Who cares?
Well, you're being
my car knows its name now. I'm not going to do that, and then my car's like, "What's happened to your phone?" You know, I don't want to play those games.
No, you'd have to reintroduce it to everyone.
I don't want to do battle with the BMW car software again. I refuse. It's not good software.
You've got sort of the lowest average screen time I think we've seen.
That's what producer Hugh said to me when I sent it in. He was like, "This is incredibly low screen time."
Does that make you feel good?
Nothing makes me feel good.
Whoa.
Nothing makes me feel good. I feel bad all the time. I think it's sort of misleading in the sense that like I'm not actually on my phone very much. I'm a workaholic.
Yeah.
Am I a workaholic or do I just have too many things to do? Debatable. Either way, I work all of the time. So like I'm only ever really on my phone when I first wake up in the morning and before I go to bed. And then if I'm on my phone during the day, it's for work purposes. So I'm like, I'm in and I'm out. I'm kicking in the door. I'm posting an Instagram reel. I'm gone.
Yeah.
Like it's not because time on my phone is like, I think if you have like an employed job where you're sat there and if you sneak 20 minutes on your phone, that's a victory.
Yeah.
You're like, you've scrolled Instagram on company time. Fair play to you. I support you in that.
Mm.
But for me, if I spend 20 minutes on Instagram, I fucked myself. That's like 20 minutes more behind that I am. And I'm always behind. I can't get more behind.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, I'm not on my phone. My screen time on my laptop is crazy.
Oh, why didn't we ask for the laptop? This is stupid.
I don't know if the laptop even does it. Because being on the laptop is considered virtuous because you're working.
Yeah. It's
but just... my screen time on my laptop is mental. Because I'm working at my computer. And the thing is, you can do it, you know, you can be on Twitter on your laptop. You can be emailing. You can still distract yourself on the laptop.
Yeah.
I have probably a misleadingly virtuous screen time.
That's good that you've sort of caveated all this. But like, don't worry, I'm not on my phone, but I'm also not okay. Mm. You know, don't worry about it.
Oh yeah, I also spend a lot of time in the car when you can't be on your phone.
No,
legally. So,
3 hours on Instagram, 3 hours on WhatsApp, 1 hour and 40 minutes on Twitter. How is your dose of Twitter time?
My attitude to Twitter, it's the Donald Trump Diet Coke tweet.
Oh yeah.
Where he's like, something about like Diet Coke have been very unfair to me, but I will still keep drinking that garbage. And that is me on Twitter, because it's like Elon Musk has come in, he's ruined it. It's full of Nazis and even worse, just like annoying nerds who think they're the jocks now.
I can't wait to find out what these virgins have been saying to you. Stay tuned after the break when we'll find out. Look, don't go anywhere. Fuck you.
I like that as an approach to the listener. Don't go anywhere. Fuck you.
Privacy settings with Will Seabag Montefiore on FUBAR Radio. Privacy settings on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Privacy Settings on FUBAR Radio with me, Will Seabag Montefiore. You know that time someone random tried to airdrop you something? That was me, and it was this show. Let's look at your YouTube history, shall we?
Yeah, my YouTube history is absolutely mental.
So for someone who works all the time and has no time to do anything else, you have been looking into why you should buy a Porsche Boxster.
Yeah.
And it's apparently better than 911.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's not better than 911. It's better than a 911, crucially. Not the 911. Which,
okay.
Nothing can be better than the 911.
Nothing can be better than the 911.
This is better than a 911, by which we mean a Porsche 911.
Okay.
I don't buy a lot of things.
No.
I'm not a big thing consumer. But periodically I'm like, maybe I deserve a little treat. And I really like Porsches. This probably isn't coming across very sympathetically.
No, you've said that 911 was great and that you love Porsches. And the Porsche thing is more...
And those are two things that are often said together, but not in the way that I mean it. And I was actually, I would quite like a kind of like a garage car. These cars, the way...
Like that kind of, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. A beatboxing car.
Yeah.
They're a two-step vehicle.
Yeah, lovely.
These cars are, they're too impractical to just have as like your car. But they're quite cheap. So like you could conceivably have one and just keep it in the garage and drive it weekends, whatever, for a bit of fun and have a more practical car. And so I was like, I would quite like, I'd actually quite like a 911, but even the old ones, they are a little bit spenny.
A Porsche. Okay, just checking. Yeah.
not to somehow own the concept of 911.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this video came up about the Porsche Boxster S's, the old Porsche, and you can pick one up for about $7,000. And they're basically a 911 that's been shortened a bit. Again, a Porsche.
A Porsche, okay, good. Just checking.
Yeah. Not just like a one tower 911.
Yeah. Which wouldn't be as good, I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to show, never rush. Never be rushed. Take your time. Do it right.
Okay.
You know, because I mean, they were swinging for the fences. I mean, they got the Pentagon as well.
Yeah, which is less memorable.
Yeah.
But it happened.
Well, there was a great Onion headline from the following day, which was "America stronger than ever, say top Quadragon officials." And I'm like, that's great. That's great
incredible stuff.
The Bulls posting that the day after 9/11. So good.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So this, I've watched this video. Joel is this guy. Are you a fan of Joel?
The guy who made the video. I have never seen him before in my life.
Have you subscribed?
Before this video, I mean.
No. It's Joel.
It's Joel. To the tune of It's Dare.
It's coming up. It's coming up.
It's Joel. I wasn't... He's fine. I mean, he was all right. He didn't particularly grab me. A lot of the YouTube car guys, sometimes I'm interested in what they have to say because they are very knowledgeable about cars, but they tend to not be very interesting people.
No, the car's doing a lot of heavy lifting.
They tend to be, and this is why I like cars, but I'm not really a car guy, because a lot of car guys are like, they're hard work.
But you're a real car guy, because some people are car guy guys. Who are there for the car, but also for the car guy.
They're there for the guys.
But you could
watch. They're like cruising the car meets.
Yeah.
You're here for the cars, I'm here for the guys.
Yeah.
Because you know where there's a lot of guys, car meets.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. You know where there's a lot of lonely divorced men who might consider going gay?
Car meets.
Car meets, yeah.
You go up to the biggest guy there and you tell him a joke.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, no, I can't. Because also, like, I'm in an awkward point where, like, I know too much about cars for the average person, but nowhere near enough about cars for people of car.
Right.
Those guys know so much about cars that, like, I seem ridiculous to them if I even attempt to discuss cars.
Yeah, if you were to try and talk about that, the IMS bearing failures that were sort of common in the M96 and M97 engines, you just sort of lose, you wouldn't know what to...
Yeah, exactly. It would be a nightmare. Yeah.
Which, that should be said, according to Joel, that shouldn't put you off buying a Porsche Boxster.
It shouldn't put you off, no. And nor should Ball Score. Ball Score and 7 years ago.
Ball Score.
If you're concerned about Ball Score, it's actually quite rare on the Boxsters, and they're cheap cars anyway.
Is that like horsepower? It's how many bores could score that car.
Ball Score is like, there's like a fault on some old Boxsters and 911s where, like, the engine's pistons wear in a sort of uneven way where it causes them to scratch the cylinders.
Okay.
Which is the bore. And so it scores the bore. And that can obviously, like, damage the performance of the car. But it's not a very common fault. It's just that if it does happen, you'd kind of have to do an engine rebuild, which is quite expensive.
Yeah. And if you are a woman still listening, well done for making it through.
Yeah, that's that's how nice I must be to look at, if I can get away with saying that.
I don't think
I am nice enough for that.
I think you are nice to look at.
Oh, thank you. It's very kind of you.
First time I've said that to a guest, and also the first time I've thought it and meant it. You sit low in this car. It's a real sense of occasion.
Eat shit, other guests.
Yeah, take that. Yeah. If you're in the past, I hate you. If you're in the future, thanks for coming on. Curvy body. That's what Joel said about that car, which made me feel strange. Next up, we've got Scotland History Tours. This is quite interesting. Quite interesting. Scotland History Tours, the life of Robbie Burns in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I was doing it. I was doing a podcast about Robert Burns, and I had to emergency learn. So normally, when I do a podcast about something... This is amazing. This is like how the sausage gets made.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm driving the podcast, I am expected to do some research because I have no time. So normally what I do is when I'm driving or in the gym, free time, I will listen to other podcasts, more dry podcasts, about the thing we're going to be talking about.
Right.
And then I kind of like synthesize it into a kind of like, well, how would we do that in our style? And then I find a few other interesting facts that maybe they didn't talk about, whatever, and then kind of... And it's a way of kind of, without wasting much of my time, of which there's very little kind of putting together.
Yeah.
Turns out there are no podcasts about Robert Burns.
Really?
Like, basically none. And it's amazingly little information about him. I mean, there's Wikipedia, but like, I don't really want to do a whole podcast on Wikipedia. And so I resorted to YouTube.
Oh, this is a last resort.
Yeah. And even then, a 10-minute video.
Yeah.
It's not great.
No.
Robert Burns, really, for the National Poet of Scotland, is underrepresented in, you know, I was like, for sure there's going to be a restless history about Robert Burns. Surely.
Surely, but there's not.
No, there was not. So.
Have you retained any knowledge about Robert Burns?
Yeah, I think I've got, he was a real shagger, Robert Burns.
Yeah, he really was. He kept, the
should have asked you about Robert Burns, clearly.
That's all I sort of remembered from it.
Yeah, okay.
I have a good memory for who's a shagger fact. And who's
not. He nearly went to Jamaica to work on a slave plantation, but like didn't at the last minute.
Yeah, because he sold his poems.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I don't know, he was like a really bizarre man. Like every detail about his life, he was just like, what?
Why don't jet engines melt? This is your next video. Was this a 9/11 Google?
So I was in, why don't jet engines melt steel beams? I was in Tbilisi last week, and I got really stoned at a friend of mine's place.
Yeah.
And I came home back to my hotel room, and I was like not ready to go to sleep. And I opened YouTube because I had a notification, and then this video came up. I don't know why, because this isn't really the sort of video I normally watch, but I was the right kind of stoned that I was like, why don't they melt? Let's find out. And you know what? It's a great watch. It's very interesting. It's very informative. And I think I actually, due to being really stoned, like fell asleep in a couple of minute chunks during it, and it was still quite engaging.
Yeah.
So I could recommend that video. It tells you a lot about actually how much difficult science has gone into making jet engines.
It's crazy.
And making them not explode.
It runs at 1500 degrees centigrade, but the materials it's made out of melt at 1250 degrees centigrade.
Yeah, and you can learn all of that from the thumbnail, so actually you don't need to watch the video.
Oh yeah, well that's good. You learn it here.
Yeah. Exactly, and it just goes through all of the engineering that's had to be done to make that possible, and it's very interesting.
And I assume this is why you were in Tbilisi. This is why the next video is 30 plus essential Georgian phrases with Gringo Nation.
Gringo Nation. Yeah. Obviously, long time subscriber of Gringo Nation. Yeah. As a gringo myself.
Yeah.
I am a big, big fan of Gringo Nation. Yeah. Georgian is, I speak fluent Russian, which you can, if you speak Russian and English, you can get by in Georgia pretty well because most people will speak one or the other.
Right.
Georgian is a phenomenally hard language. It's like the alphabet is like absolute cactus. It's a total isolate. It's like not, it's kind of a bit like Hungarian or something where it's like it's just right. It's just completely unrelated to any other language you've ever seen. And so it's pretty hard. But I was like, oh, I hate being like not able to do the basics because I really think it annoys people.
Yeah.
And so I was doing my, I could teach some Georgian now if you like.
I know one phrase.
Yeah.
Vergavage.
What's that? Don't know.
I think that's I don't understand.
Vergavage. I mean, very useful.
Yeah.
To say.
The only one I took from that because I was like, that's going to be helpful.
That'd be me all the time.
Teach me some Georgian, please.
So you've got Gamarjoba.
Gamarjoba.
That's hello.
Gamarjoba.
Yeah. You've got Madlaba.
Madlaba.
That's thank you.
Thank you.
And then the only other one I know is Gamarjos, which is cheers.
Gamarjos.
Yeah.
Gamarjos.
Yeah.
Gabarjos. I'm trying to do it as kids.
Gabarjos.
Oh, Gabarjos.
I tell you what, I love their ancient winemaking traditions. I visited a vineyard and they've given me wine that was made in a quarry. It's sort of like an ancient clay pot. And it imparts a sort of amber colour to white wine and almost a blackish colour to red wine. And I just think it's very interesting that they're carrying on these ancient ways of doing things.
Well, that's incredible to look back. Now, Keir, I know you speak Russian. Could you speak a bit of Russian to the viewer at home?
Конечно, я могу говорить. Как я стану на русском? Так можно, конечно. Но на самом деле, это не совсем подходит к его акценту говорить на русском, потому что его акцент это очень мягкий. И русский, на самом деле, очень твердый язык.
I would just like to say good luck to the social media team who will have to caption that.
The funny thing was that as I was saying, I sort of forgot that you couldn't understand what I was saying.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at acting. I was like,
yeah, because I got to it. I think with languages, you can eventually get to a point where you speak a language well enough that you can just sort of switch between them without really noticing. I had it once where I took me and a girlfriend went to Bali and I was hanging out with a bunch of my Russian friends and moved there. And most of them speak English, but there were a couple that don't. And so periodically I would switch into Russian because someone had spoke to me in Russian. Whoa. And then I would just turn to her as though, like, what do you think about this? She's like, I don't know what you're saying. And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot I wasn't speaking
That's
English.
So sick. That's really cool.
Yeah. I spent so much of this episode just sort of bragging. It's not really my intention coming in here.
I think that's nice. Most people feel very anxious and weird about their phones being taken over, and you've just been like, fucking come at me. I like it. Thanks very much, Milo. We're going to go to another quick break now, but don't go anywhere, because coming up, I'm going to look at all your food orders, and I'm loving it. Hey?
Privacy settings with Will Seabag Montefiore on FUBAR Radio. Privacy settings on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Privacy Settings, the only show with a VPN. If VPN stood for very podcast nice. Milo, you're on a shitload of podcasts. Are any of them very podcast nice?
Yeah, I hope all of them. Mm-hmm. That's what I try to do.
Trash Future, Glue Factory, Masters of Our Domain.
Yeah, those are the big three.
Which is the best one?
The only three. I mean, it depends what you look for. I mean, Trash Future, I guess, is the most popular. It's the longest running. Mm. But it's a very sort of... objectively, it's a very niche politics show that it rewards having listened to it for a long time. And I think a lot of people would find it quite alienating because it just like, if you've not had your brain shattered by the internet, it probably won't make a huge amount of sense to you.
Beautiful. You've offset the bragging there. That's good.
Yeah. Glue Factory is, it's just a comedy podcast. It's completely silly. I think what we've tried to do is make a kind of talking shit comedy podcast, but for like people who haven't been hit over the head with a brick. Because I think so many of them are that. And you're like,
yeah.
So many like of those sort of podcast clips, I see them on Instagram, whatever, and they're doing well. And I'm just like, but this is the shittest humor I've ever. Like, it's so like... It's so like anyone could do this level of humor, and so like we try and do that, like it's very silly but like in a kind of like trying to make actually good jokes, and like that's sort of the premise of it. And we get like interesting guests, and that's I'm very proud of it. It's not my most popular podcast, but it's my baby.
Cool. Sounds like the polar opposite of this podcast.
And then Master of Adamane is used to be about Seinfeld, and now it's about history.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And do you come up with any of the ideas for your podcast in your notes app? I really hope so, because that's the only segue I've got.
No.
Fuck, should we look at it anyway?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, we're doing McDonald's, aren't we? I read the script like an idiot. Ah, the segue's in the bin anyway.
Yeah. And are you loving those podcasts?
Yeah, that's good stuff. it feels really, really icky to then do your line back to you. But, and are you loving those podcasts?
I hope so.
Oh, it's gross, isn't it? I'm going to look at your phone again, Milo. Shut up about your podcasts.
Please.
This is your McDonald's app. I'll be honest, I didn't even know McDonald's had an app. And I think you sent this to my producer saying you don't really order much food.
Yeah.
But your McDonald's rewards is 17,487 points.
Allow me to be clear. I don't order much food. I physically go to McDonald's a lot.
You eat a lot of food.
Because I'm always on the road. So I'm always... McDonald's is, and I think again, this is where like the life of a comedian is mental, because your life is structured completely differently. If I go somewhere and they've got a McDonald's, I'm like, what a relief, because so many service stations have like only a Burger King or something. Like, Burger King is shit.
Whoa.
Like, I'm not being funny. McDonald's have nailed fast food.
Right.
Like, in terms of fast food, McDonald's, they have a broad range of options. McDonald's is, they're very consistent. They're generally run pretty much the same. You can get the same quality of food everywhere. They actually have quite a broad range of stuff. Like, you can order stuff that's a bit healthier if you're a bit like, I have eaten a lot of shite this week. There's a bit like Burger King, you're going to eat a burger, you're going to feel shit afterwards because it's going to repeat. Like, oh, I hate it so much.
Wow.
And so, like, but a lot of motorway services don't have a McDonald's. And so when there's a McDonald's, I'm like, I'm going there because it is the best one. And that's crazy because most people, they just don't eat McDonald's
that's
often.
The opposite of what everybody says about McDonald's.
Yeah, but because quite often my other options are worse.
What do you think is Burger King the worst service station food? What's the worst service station food?
Burger King's bad. I don't mind a KFC. They quite often have a KFC, but it's just KFC, there's never any salad with a KFC. Do you know what I mean?
No.
What else is really bad? Oh God. And there's a bunch of like more like niche stuff that you get there, but quite often you're stuck with a Burger King and you're like, why? Why am I doing
so
this?
Sad.
Yeah, miserable.
I guess are you sort of like, because Usain Bolt famously ate chicken nuggets before doing his world record?
Yeah. What a king.
Are you the Usain Bolt of the comedy world? You think?
I don't know if I, because I feel like so many comedians are eating a lot of McDonald's.
Right.
But I will say, you know, quite often an entire week goes by without eating a single McDonald's. But then equally, I can eat three in a day if it comes to it.
Right.
So it's very unevenly distributed. When the McDonald's monopoly was on, which I think is October.
Right.
I was on tour, and so I think I genuinely ate more McDonald's than anyone in the country in that month, and I was winning prizes.
What kind of prizes?
I was reaching the amount of McDonald's you have to order to start winning stuff. I won at one point. I just won £20, and I was like, "This is because like normally with the prize like that, there's always a catch."
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, "What do you mean £20?" I'm like, £20 voucher for McDonald's, sure, but like it was just like £20, and they're like, "Yeah, yeah, just put in your bank details and we'll send you £20," and I was like, "This is," I was like, "Wow, you know what? Fair play to Ronald McDonald." I respect that clown.
Yeah, well, you would respect him. He's a clown.
He stands on business. No, yeah. I don't respect clowns as a rule.
Oh, really?
No.
Do you mean like circus clowns or like Gaulier clowns?
Either.
Now,
I will say there are one or two Gaulier clowns that I count as friends.
Yeah.
And I do respect them. But on the whole, very skeptical.
What's the difference between those two? Is that just because they're your friends?
No, I think, well, there's a chicken and egg thing there, which is that I couldn't be friends with them if I didn't respect them.
Yeah.
And they are funny enough, either because of or despite the fact that they went to Gaulier, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Was it being abused by a Frenchman that made them funny, or
were they simply funny already?
Yeah.
And it didn't have much impact. I don't know. But then a lot. I think there's a lot of people are really using Gaulier as an excuse to exist in the industry. And they're actually just not very funny. But they're like being so weird. And then they're being like, oh, the audience don't get it. And it's like, yeah, because it's not funny. Because it's not good.
No, but that is why they are beautiful.
Have you seen that clip where Hillary Clinton meets him?
No.
So it's, I don't know exactly what it's for. I think it's from a Netflix thing where like Hillary and Chelsea Clinton are like, they're like making a documentary about like feminism or something. I don't know. It's so like, imagine who this is for. Like, who's watching this? And for some reason, they're interviewing Philippe Goliot in Paris. And then he just goes like, a woman can be many things, but not funny. No, not funny. The silly baby, but never funny.
I have just no interest in meeting the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like sort of French Robbie Coltrane, but it's really funny because it's just like they've never met a Frenchman before. So they're like, it's like a type of sexism they actually didn't know existed.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like median political opinion in France. Well, the women are sexual objects. They are not. They do not have brain. And like they're like, wow. But they sort of have to be polite because it's like for a documentary.
Yeah, they're very yes and as well.
And it's
yeah.
like, yeah, you've just never met a Frenchman before.
It's just a rude, sexist clown man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone they meet is like HR verified.
Yeah,
but like everyone talks in like sort of buzzwords.
Yeah,
like yeah. I think like American corporate culture is so like insincerely diverse.
Yeah.
In that it's like, you can actually materially be as like oppressive as you want, but as long as you use all of the correct, like, you know.
Do not curse.
Yeah.
As long as you don't curse.
Exactly. And so Americans are just used to people talking in those kind of like wishy-washy, the affinity group for this, the affinity group for that. Yes, we love our LGBTQ. And like, and so then they meet a Frenchman and they're like,
fucking
what?
Ridiculous. Women, I do not like it. Fuck off.
They're just like, it's like, they can't even understand each other.
Wow,
it's
and
like,
how did you come to that journey?
Yeah.
I fucking know about it. I've spent my life being a clown. I am the world's most racist clown. Do you know how many women I've seen? Not one of them funny, but a lot of them very beautiful.
Oh, God, France, what a country, eh?
What a place. What a place. Do you speak French? Or do you just let them do the talking? I don't know why I asked that.
Je peux parler un petit peu de français.
Oh, wow. Wow, a pate for low, a front side for me.
See you, fo.
Oh, le boulangerie.
Le bibliothèque.
Oh, well, je ne sais pas.
L'éducation, c'est très important.
Oh, oui. C'est vrai.
Occasionally, I just crash back into remembering what this podcast is supposed to be about.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to pretend there are rails.
Producer Hugh is absolutely pissing himself
out
there.
Yeah. We have talked about phones a little bit. All this stuff is sort of related to phones, but yeah. we also have...
Phone adjacent.
...become Keir Starmer quite a few times.
Mm.
It's one of those silly comedy podcasts, but there's no substance. Let's have a look at your notes on your phone. That's on a
Please.
Phone.
Yeah, it is.
Back in the game. What do you use your notes app for, mostly, Milo Edwards?
Can I just shock you? Work.
Yeah. Whoa, unbelievable.
There's and then like admin, I guess. Like
So what sort of work and admin does Preston Bits come under? Because that's the title of the note. And the content of the note is trial reel Hitler bit.
Preston, shouts out to Preston. Preston is Preston's my kind of content maestro.
Oh.
He is a Zoomer. And he understands TikTok, the tick of talk. Yeah. And he clips up all of my shit and posts it and masterminds that. And he also produces Glue Factory.
Nice.
And so I sometimes will make notes of things that either he needs from me or that I need from him sort of next time I speak to him.
Yeah.
And this was, I did a bit, we shot something in Bristol and I was warming up the crowd and I did this bit about the story about Hitler having a micro penis.
Yes.
And I was like, that's just really funny news.
Yeah.
And I just went through all the reasons. And it was like crushing in the room.
Yeah.
And then we put it out on TikTok and it just like bombed. I don't know if it was because I was just talking about Hitler so much that the algorithm just like, but it's sort of funny when that happens with social media where it's something that like crushes in a room and then you put it out on social media and it's like flops, like nothing. And then we were discussing whether it was worth doing a trial reel on Instagram. Just to see.
Yeah.
Because they do sometimes react very differently to the same thing.
Yeah, very
strange.
And
I don't think I ever actually got around to doing it.
Well, this is a good reminder.
Yeah.
This show has helped.
Can do. If you want to see my Hitler bit, tune in.
By your Hitler bit, do you mean your micropenis?
My micropenis, yeah.
Now, T for Q. Time for questions, I imagine.
Time for questions,
your
correct.
Your live show.
Yeah.
Tell us about T for Q, please.
T for Q, it is a piss take of question time that Preston and I have masterminded, and we do it with sketch comedians Sullivan Brown and Rosie Nichols. And we shot one in Bristol back in the summer. So basically the audience fill out a form where they answer a bunch of stupid questions. Rosie and Sullivan pretend to be a panel of politicians.
Perfect.
And then I call on people in the audience who've given funny answers to questions, and then the panel like react in the way that like Sullivan was like being a kind of like beleaguered, scandal-ridden Tory MP, and Rosie was being sort of like blustery, refusing to answer the question, Labour MP.
Fun.
What's really important here? Like that kind of response. And yeah, it was really funny. The clips have been doing well. We're doing another one in London on the 25th of February. So that's kind of what this note is about. It's like reminding us what we need to decide and prepare before that.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you're using your phone to do that? Or are you doing it all on a laptop?
Mostly laptop, but just I don't actually do this very often, but I sometimes make phone notes when I'm like, I really need to remember that, and I only have my phone on me. Because yeah. I'm not a big iPhone note user.
No.
So it's not my preferred.
Oh, he's got so emotional about it.
I know. It choked me up. Yeah. It's not my preferred way to record things, but if I'm really in a pinch.
What's your preferred way to record things?
In my notebook.
Oh.
Or on my laptop. So I journal. I really sound like the most incorrigible wanker. Like everything I reveal about myself makes me sound even worse.
I don't know. I like you. Okay. But then my surname's mental. Like if I'm liking you, it's probably a bad sign.
Yeah.
You journal every day? Ice bathing, journaling?
Not ice bathing, no, but I don't journal every day. I journal kind of when I have time. Mm. But again, it's like I do some stuff that sounds a bit woo, but I do it for very practical reasons where it's just like I have to like brain dump things in order to focus because I manage too many like disparate, like I spin too many plates.
Yeah.
It's not really about the overall quantity of work that I do. It's about how it's like instead of 10 big tasks, I have 1,000 miniature tasks, and keeping track of them is like incredibly like mentally taxing. Maybe I'm just not as organized as I should be. I don't know. Maybe I'm just useless.
Maybe you host three podcasts and different live shows whilst doing several tours at different shows.
Look, I've not stormed the beaches of Normandy here. I realize I live a fairly cosseted existence, but I find journaling is quite helpful as a way to like deal with both like emotional and work stress and to clear the mind. And then in what I always do at the end of my journaling session is I write detailed to-do lists that I try and prioritize so that then I can refer to whenever I have spare time, I can look at the to-do list and be like, is there something here that I can do in this 5-minute gap that I have?
Nice.
And so, yeah, I kind of, that's my preferred go-to because that's generally what I refer back to the most. But in a pinch, iPhone note.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Journaling. Who knew? It's actually quite good. Mm. So obviously we spent the whole time discussing your phone. Have you enjoyed looking through your phone? That we've definitely done most of that?
Yeah, I've learned a lot.
Have you?
Learned a lot about myself. I think you've learned a lot.
I've learned a lot. Yeah, the listeners probably learned a lot.
I don't know if you've learned anything useful, but you've literally learned a lot in the sense that I have just told you a huge amount about myself.
Yeah.
Whether that counts as learning, I don't know. I think learning almost implies that there's something worthy about it.
I've never thought that about learning.
You've been given a lot of information. That's what I can say for certain.
Can we use that as a tagline? Is that you've gained a lot of information.
Privacy settings. You've been given a lot of information.
Yeah. That's perfect. I think that's all it is. I mean, that's all podcasts really are. It's just like filling the space. Because there's no real point in what we've just done.
No. It's just, look, it's a job, you know?
Yeah.
You fill an hour in an entertaining way.
Yeah.
And that might sound bad to the listener, but let me tell you, the alternative is far worse.
The alternative is silence.
Well, yeah, and also, like, I have it before when, like, people sometimes, you know, people that I've worked with, they turn up to do a podcast and they're just like, oh, I'm hungover or I'm not in a good mood or whatever. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. you have to be entertaining for the next hour. Even if you have to be a bit lower energy than usual or whatever, it's like, it's a job. Just do it. Like, your plumber doesn't turn up and go, oh, I'm in a bad mood. I don't care. Fix the sink. You know what I mean? It's like, this is the same. It's like, I don't want to listen to someone be in a bad mood unless they're doing it in a funny way.
Yeah.
Like, and so, yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. So it's like, it's a job like any other.
And what do you think the point of this one is, this podcast? Is there one?
I think, unless, I mean, there are certain podcasts where the point of the podcast is relatively self-evident. I mean, if you're listening to something like I don't know, boring example, like Rest Is History, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a slightly entertaining, but mostly informative podcast for people who are like, I don't know anything about the French Revolution. I would like to hear two slightly brash Tories tell me about it in a kind of like slightly amusing way. And you know what? They are quite amusing.
Yeah.
They do in a kind of Tory uncle way. Yeah. They are quite amusing in the way, like, well, typical bloody French. You know, it is funny.
Whereas we would never make fun of the French for no reason.
Absolutely not. No. And it's a well-researched show, and it's providing that. And I think most comedy podcasts such as this, mm-hmm. it has a format, but no one really gives a fuck about what's on my phone. Right? The point of looking through my phone is to get both of us to say something funny about what we find in there. It's a jumping off point to produce humor. It's not like no one was sat at home going, God, I wonder what's in my notes app. But they're hoping that by going through the notes app, you know, some jollity will come out of it.
We should write that down, because that's smart, because I thought this was like...
You thought you were doing a sort of investigation.
Well, yeah, I initially pitched this to the goal hanger as the rest is phones, but the rest is phones. They didn't want it, and I sort of see why now.
The rest is screen time.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh well.
We live and learn. And we've learned a lot today.
We have. We've gained a lot of information.
Yeah. Milo, who should we get on next? If you had to give us a guest,
ooh,
whose phone would you like to tell us to look through? Even though that's not the point of the podcast, it's just sort of a
who do I know who would have crazy stuff on their phone? Probably Olga.
Olga Koch,
yeah. Yeah, that phone's got to be crazy.
Amazing.
She'd have to censor it so much before she gave it to you.
Incredible. Great stuff. Thank you so much for coming on, Milo.
It was my pleasure.
No, it was my pleasure.
It could be both of our pleasures.
Oh, double pleasure.
Yeah, ribbed on both sides.
Mm.
There you go.
Make sure you follow Milo at Milo Edwards. Sometimes it's got an underscore in it. Sometimes it's got a three at the end of it. MiloEdwards.co.uk for tour dates and his podcasts, Trash Future and The Glue Factory and Mood.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be in Ireland, Europe and Australia and Bristol very soon. So
the four big ones.
The four big ones.
Yeah.
That's right. Leicester as well. Yeah, anyway.
Absolutely hilarious comedian. My favourite bit about MILFs that I've ever heard. And I think of you whenever I see the word MILF.
And also, if you're just a MILF, just get in touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, if you Keith self-identify as a MILF, my DMs are always open for a true MILF. Yeah.
As always, thank you for listening to Privacy Settings. If you want more from the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Privacy Settings FUBAR. Thank you for being here. See you next week. And if you're a MILF, get in touch with Milo.
Bye-bye.
I hope that bit hasn't been cut and that's not out of context.
Privacy Settings with Will Sebag Montefiore on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, listener. It's Will, me, the guy from the show. First of all, thank you so much for listening. We're about 10 episodes into recording Privacy Settings. Or Privacy Settings. We're still debating the title. Is privacy or is it privacy? I don't know. But we want to hear from you. That's right. Get your thumbs out and type a message to me. Get in touch if there is a guest that you'd like us to have on. If you have any questions, you have any requests, if you want to see certain things on certain people's phones, let me know. I can trick them into letting me look at their phones. They come in here all ready not to give me them, and then I trick them. They're gullible idiots, and I love them. They're not idiots. I really like everybody who comes on the show, and thank you so much for coming on and listening also. Why not drop us a message on Instagram or TikTok at Privacy Settings FUBAR, and we'll reply. It'll be me or my producer, Hugh, and you can talk to us, have a conversation. Turn that parasocial relationship social. But don't really, just message us. We'll keep it fully professional, and we won't swear. We might swear. Thank you so much for listening. I love you so much, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Privacy Settings with Will Sebag Montefiore on FUBAR Radio.